Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word.
Amen.
Good morning to you all and happy Mother's Day. I'm going to ask Cece and our acolytes, maybe Maureen and Robin, would you help me give out a card? And if anybody has a pen in your purse or your pocket, please dig it out. And anybody else who needs one, please find a pen. I'm going to do a little exercise with you in just a couple of minutes. So thank you guys very much. Okay. So how many of you have ever had the experience of having to take a child to, or an animal to the doctor or to the vet to get a shot? So, when my kids were little, and you begin to know what the routine is when you take them to the doctor's office to get their vaccinations, you know, the first time that a child gets a shot, there's really not that much drama about it until after the shot comes, because they have no idea what to expect. Well, when Phoebe was little, she didn't receive some of her vaccinations until she was a little bit older for a variety of reasons. So she was very cognizant and aware and verbal about what was going on. So the first time she got a shot, like any child, you know, she was sitting in my lap, she was fine. The shot comes and she's out of my lap like a bolt. I mean, just as you can imagine, it is quite a shocking experience for a little child to have to get a vaccination. So then she comes back onto my lap and is sitting there, and we still have two more shots to go. Crying, upset, what is going to happen? Why do we have to do this? Who's going to do it? Is it going to be the nurse? Why? You know, even animals have that experience. The first time you take them to the vet, if it's just to get weighed and to get checked out, they're normally fine. But the second they have something difficult or painful happen at the vet, I don't know about you, but my dogs and cats know the second I turn onto the street where the vet is located, they're, you know, trying to get under the car seat, in the back of the car, they know this is not going to be a pleasant experience. How human for us to have so many questions when we know that there is something difficult that is coming into our lives. In today's gospel lesson, I think it's incredibly helpful to know that Jesus does not say the words to his disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled," on a beautiful sunny afternoon while they're sitting by the Sea of Galilee having a picnic. It is happening in the context of the Last Supper. And you remember in John's Gospel, at the Last Supper, Jesus washes his disciples' feet. He gives them the new command to love each other. And in that time, he foretells Judas's betrayal of him. He tells them that he is going toward his death. And he tells Peter that Peter will deny him. So there will be betrayal, denial, and death. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me. I mean, so in that context, it's very different. It's like me saying, "Oh, don't worry about it. It'll just be another shot." So in that context, it's no wonder that Thomas says, "What are you talking about? We don't know the way. What do you mean we know the way to where you are going?" Or that Philip says, "What is the ultimate conclusion of this? Show me the Father. If that's where we're headed, I want to see the Father." Those questions are held so lovingly and so carefully by Jesus. Before I go any further in exploring with you how he responds to those questions, I know that many of you have questions for God. Where is this going? How is this going to happen? Why am I going through this, or my loved ones? So I would love for you to spend a minute writing down what your question is of God. If you were Thomas or you were Philip and you were sitting in front of Jesus, maybe you would say, what is the way? How do I get there? But I suspect that you might have a different question on your heart, and I'd like you to spend just a minute in quiet writing that question down, and then I'll share what we can do with those cards. But let me just give you a minute. I'll try my hardest to be quiet. So beautiful to hear a baby. Thank you, whoever brought the baby. Thank you. I suspect that many of you, maybe you're still working on your questions, but I suspect that for many of you, your questions have something to do with death. Maybe it is around the death of a loved one, around questions of your own mortality. Maybe it's questions about where a loved one is after death. Or perhaps your question is about the death of a dream, or the death of your identity in some way. I know as many people retire, it's very difficult to shift from one way of being in the world to another, and some people experience that as a death. Or maybe there's been a death in a relationship, a change in the way that you've interacted with somebody, or the need for things to go in a different direction. For many of us, our deepest questions of God come from a place of uncertainty. How is this going to unfold? What's next? Where is this going? And Jesus' message over and over and over again to his disciples in this gospel passage is believe, believe, believe. For me, that particular translation of the Greek word is not particularly helpful because the questions that come up in my mind that I have for God can take me into a lot of anxiety and fear and wondering and mental gymnastics. The question of believe falls into that chaotic mental space for me. If we translate that word trust, trust God, trust me, trust I am the way, that brings it down into the heart. And I think when we can begin to find ourselves in a heart space of those very painful and hard questions, we can experience the way, the truth, and the life that Jesus promises to us. But we have to practice it. Sometimes I wish that faith and trust and belief were like a magic pill that I could take, and all of a sudden I'm filled with it, and I have it permanently, and it's there completely. But you've all heard this before. Faith and belief and trust, they all are best understood as verbs, as things that we're constantly working on, as sort of ways that we are striving to be in the world. In other cultures, dealing with painful, difficult questions around death and dying, meditations around them are practiced with the littlest of children. In elementary schools in Tibet, they'll have meditations about death and dying, so that the children can begin to practice trusting in the process, trusting in that sense of the spirit that will carry them through. You know, in our Christian context, with Jesus as our friend, as our companion, as our teacher, and our guide, how can you cultivate trust today so that when you come to those questions of great uncertainty in life, you know how to get on that path. You know how to find the way. You know that peace of God that passes all understanding. What does that look like for you? I suggest, if you don't have a ready answer to that, this gospel passage is an invitation to you directly to think about how Jesus can speak that word of trust into your life. I know many of you love music deeply, and so finding a hymn, a song, a piece of classical music that instantly pulls you down into your heart and soothes and comforts you can be one of the fastest ways to find yourself on the way, connected with the healing, loving power of Jesus, leading you to God. For others of you, solitude on the beach and feeling the wind and the sand and the water, those sensory experiences can pull you again out of all the questions, the chaos, the how, the when, the why, the where, into a peaceful, serene state. Jesus teaches his disciples not to fill their heads with dogma, but to show them a transformed way of living. I hope that you will allow this gospel lesson, Jesus' call to you, trust me, trust me, trust me, I am the way. I hope that you will let that lead you to find your way with Jesus, whatever that might be. Now, with your cards, you can take them home and you can pray with your questions. Take it straight to Jesus. Where is my loved one? How will I get through this illness? Whatever it might be. You can burn them. Let your prayers rise up to God. You can turn them in the offering plate anonymously, and I'll sit with them in prayer. Allow your questions to guide how we do adult formation offerings in the future. And if you want to have a conversation with me about your question, sign your card, and I'll know that you would like me to reach out to you so that we can talk about it. But God knows your questions. God loves you. God wants to be the way to that eternal life, everlasting life, where you can know peace. Amen.
Amen.